Chapter 10. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear me, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A week ago yesterday, the Saturday before, I was sitting in my apartment and I was catching up on Twitter and Facebook, like you do. And all of a sudden, a few things hit me all at once. In a Facebook group I'm a part of, someone had broke the confidence of someone else, and there was hurt and mistrust in that. I found out that a friend of mine's relationship of many years had ended in a surprising way for her, and she was devastated. And I found out that the Christian author Rachel Held Evans had died that morning. All of this stuff all hit my Twitter newsfeed all at once, and it was really too much for me to handle. I had to turn off my phone and put it away for the rest of the day, but it really stuck with me. Broken relationships, broken confidences, and people who are far too young dying of illnesses that doctors couldn't prevent. I went away for a part of last week and took a nice little rest in Baltimore and kept thinking about these things and these people. And while I was there, another incredible Christian died, Jean Vanier. He created this community of people with developmental disabilities. And he showed the whole world how much God worked through these people that he built relationships with and cared for. He was 90, which is small consolation to lose such a bright light of Christ in the world. And while I was thinking about all of these things, all of this darkness in the world, these things that were really hitting my own heart, not to mention any time I think about other people who are sick or in need, people who call our office asking for food and rent assistance because they don't have enough, I was thinking about all of these things and really thinking about Rachel Held Evans because she was a great teacher for me. And I read this week's lectionary readings. I read the stories that we would be reading in church this Sunday. And it just so happened that it was going to be the story of Tabitha in Acts. The story of this woman who is the only woman to be called a disciple in the Gospels and Acts. This woman who impacted people so strongly, and then she died. The Bible doesn't say what she died of, but some sort of illness took her away sooner than people were expecting. And when Peter came to see them, they were mourning, and what struck me is they held up to show Peter the things she had made. They held up these tunics that she had woven to herself. They held up these things that probably helped sustain their community and showed them to Peter and said, "Look at this, at these things this person has made. Look at this, these things this person has done, and she is gone." They were brokenhearted. They were grieving. They were mourning. Rachel Held Evans was a pretty prolific person on Twitter, and a writer. She She didn't mean to, but she kind of became the voice for millennials in the church for a lot of people. And so all throughout her illness and her death, there were hashtags about her. One of them even started trending on just big Twitter, which shows the reach she had. And after she died, the hashtag, people call her RHE, which is her initials, because of RHE started going viral. Everybody was holding up the stories of what she did for them, how she showed them who God is, how she cared so deeply about them, how she taught them how to love the way that God would have them love. I would read this sometimes, but I couldn't read it too much because I was sad myself. But it reminded me so much of those women surrounding Tabitha, holding up those garments. Look at what this person did. Look at who this person was. Remember this person that we mourn, who is gone. This is frequently the Sunday that's called Good Shepherd Sunday. We read Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm there is, about the shepherd. And we read about Jesus talking about him and his sheep. He's trying to explain to the people who don't understand what his flock is like, who he is as the good shepherd, and who his sheep are who follow him. And he says something incredible, something that we talk about so much we almost take it for granted. He says, "I will give my sheep eternal life." Eternal life. He said this to people who were poor and in need, who had no hope for the future. He said, "I will give you eternal life." Sometimes people misconstrued that, thinking that would mean they would never die, that all bad things would stop happening to them if they followed Jesus. And thousands of years of Christianity in our own lives have shown us that that is not how this works. People still get sick. Life still begins and ends, sometimes in ways we can't imagine. But Jesus kept talking about eternal life that he would give to his sheep, to us, to all of those who know Jesus' voice. And what's really important to remember is in John that eternal life is not just talking about being in heaven with God in the future. The way John writes about Jesus and what he said, that eternal life is not something to be hoped for and kind of waited on. It is something to be lived now. In another part of the gospel, he says that he came so that people might have life and have life abundantly. That people might live into the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God now, in this world. And that's what we learn from the people who mourned Tabitha, people who mourn Rachel Held Evans and Jean Varnier, who recognize what these people did in their lives when they were living. We as Christians are called to live life abundantly, to have eternal life right here, right now. And we do that in so many ways. We do that in recognizing the gifts that God has given each and one, every one of us, and using those gifts for the sake of God in this world. We do that by recognizing what other people do in the name of God, what other people do to be God's hands and feet in this world, and by holding those people up. And sometimes, when something strikes our community in a way that hurts, in a way that causes us to mourn, we do that by holding to one another and making space to grieve, even in the hope of eternal life. I actually wrote something down for this sermon. There's a quote in a book by Rachel Held Evans that really struck me, and I wanted to make sure I got it right. And she's talking about the church's work of healing. The church's work of making well. And she said, says there is a difference between curing and healing. And I believe the church is called to the slow and difficult work of healing. We are called to enter into one another's pain, anointed as holy, and stick around no matter the outcome. When people were praying for her, they were praying for her to be well. But that was not the way her healing came. Often we pray for things and we hope we know what the answer will be, but it is harder and messier than we ever could expect. And that is why we gather as the church. Because even in moments of sickness, of death, of broken relationships and loss, we as the church know God is present here. No one, nothing, can snatch us out of Jesus' hand. That is the promise we have in the Good Shepherd. Nothing can take us away from God. And so we hold on to one another like the women around Tabitha did. We tell each other what God is doing in this world. We show each other the things we created with our hands, that God works through us. And we know that to have life abundantly doesn't mean we will never die here in this world. But it does mean that who we are and what God does through us lives eternally